Philadelphia is poised to join Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C., cities where consumers can avail themselves of a Fair Labor Guide. Labor 411 will begin publishing a Philly electronic edition in May, and then a print edition in time for the DNC here in Philadelphia the end of July. Joining me is Sherry Senders, publisher of Labor 411, and Patrick Iding, president of the Philadelphia Council of the AFL-CIO. Sherry, Patrick, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us here.
Sherry, starting first in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and then Washington, I might surmise that now Philadelphia of the four is the most sympathetic to union causes and union-based based on its legacy. Is that so?
Absolutely. And we're very excited to be here for the DNC and to really help get our message out to a broader consumer movement.
And so describe the guide.
So we're a consumer guide that is about creating good jobs. So there's lots of jobs that have been created since the recession, but we really want good quality jobs. So we want to have a lot of the manufacturing jobs, the reshoring jobs. We want to make sure that they're good jobs that help build up our community.
And Patrick, how will this site be a driver to consumers to consider products?
Our idea is twofold. One is to, you know, get folks who come here who may have a union bias to you know, frequent those venues that do treat their workers well and have a collective bargaining agreement. And also to let the world know that, you know, most of the time when we're on the news, it's because we're fighting some contractor or some act that's going on or not going on. And here we have an opportunity to show all the great employers that we have a partnership with. But with the idea of fighting hard to get the DNC here and being successful to do that, and that great partnership that we have working towards that with the DNC, it only made sense. Now was the time to call Sherry and find out, how do we do this? And so, two or three folks in our group are working with Sherry to put the group of people together that we want to have recognized as good employers, whether it be a supermarket or a hotel or whatever the venues are. And they may be just people who work with the unions. They may not be working under a collective bargaining agreement, but they may be good labor lawyers. They may be good, professionals that work with unions and support unions and help. And also, we're very involved in a community. And you know, our motto now is that we can't go forward without the community engagement. So this is another way to have that relationship build up, I think.
Sherry, speak about the specific union relationship. Concomitant with that, though, of course, is the growing awareness and legislation toward boosting the minimum wage, certainly in California, comes to mind. But those aren't necessarily union jobs.
Some of them are, absolutely. But I think the fight for 15 is a very good example of what's happened to the stratification of incomes in America. And I think when we look to what can we do to fight this? And I think that that's one of the reasons for Labor 411 is to really be able to take these good to take consumer buying power and be able to harness it and buy these products that you can buy every day and then be helping create tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of good jobs. So it's bigger than the labor movement. We really need to enlist millennials. We need to enlist the larger consumer movement.
Sherry, is it your hunch that the message and mission of Labor 411 is made easier because we are now substantially emerged from the depths of the recession 2008?
Absolutely.
In terms of consumer buying power.
Absolutely. Consumer buying power. The jobs have not yet returned. So many of our community partners are really still suffering. I mean, we still have a lot of workers that are really working in subsistence jobs, and thus the rise of the 15 Now campaign. So we really need to be fighting for good jobs. And that's where Labor 411, we believe, can come in, by really allowing people to live their values with every dollar they spend. Every time they open their wallet, they can make a difference in their community and help create a stronger America just by the choices they make. One of the things we did today was we brought along some great products, and one of our really popular things is our product list, one of our popular features on Labor 411. So we can do, you can have union parties, you can have union beers. There actually are 250 union-made beers, and all of those people are making good wages and benefits and really helping their own community. So that's really what it's about, is building a stronger economy for all of America.
I believe Labor 411 started in 2008.
Yes, it did.
And what successes have you enjoyed in that time, and frankly, what challenges?
Well, I think the biggest joy of Labor 411 is the what I call the aha moment. And that's when people say, I didn't know that was union. I didn't know that was union. So people who don't necessarily feel good about unions or have a grudge against unions suddenly realize that all these products that they can purchase are union made. So they start to have a little bit different attitudes about it. We also talk about the quality building that we do, the roads that we drive on, the teachers, the public schools. There's so many ways that unions touch us every day that people are not aware of. So it really is an educational project that we've embarked on.
Patrick is nodding in agreement. I presume that this notion of the aha moment resonates with you as well.
Well, and I think I have to take that one step further, and that's to the employers that who employ our people, pay them decent wages, and stay here. For example, in our world here, we think Hershey is like next to God. They're such a great company, right? They make part of their stuff they make in Mexico, and people aren't aware of it. And I think that this is an important thing for us to let people know. Nabisco just closed here in Philadelphia. They're changing their stuff in Chicago, and they're going to make their product in Mexico or Canada. And I would say that what we can do as a group, both the labor organizations and also working people and the good, fair contractors we have, let the world know that. So I think by making more people aware of the aha moment, if you will, that, you know, that not only are these organized with a collective bargaining agreement, but they're good employers. And, you know, along the way, we also reference labor-friendly employers. So maybe they don't need a collective bargaining agreement because they pay their workers better than other people. And if they already do that, then maybe the workers aren't scampering for a union. They won't need it if they make good wages. So
and part of that pay is, frankly, not merely the remuneration, but how employees are treated,
absolutely,
the corporate or
absolutely
workplace culture.
Safety. Safety comes to mind. How people are treated every day, you know, and when we look at the, you know, we have the Philadelphia airport, we have tremendous partnerships down there. There's an awful lot of subcontractors. Until Philadelphia put in a wage rate of $12 for anybody who has a contract, they were getting $7 an hour and working ungodly hours, unsafe, carrying bags, you know, walking to work because they couldn't afford to get transportation there. They're the kind of things, if we can, this is a part of making that awareness happen. I think it's a great idea that we not only sell ourselves, because, you know, we do that all the time. We're always trying to say, hey, we're better. But sell ourselves along with the partnerships that we have. And we have some great partners out there. Some folks have been working with union contracts or paying their wages for good wages for many, many years. I speak of American Honda. You know, many times there was an organization drive out in Marysville, Ohio, but it never came about because the Honda paid their workers good money and had the benefits. So, okay, well, then let's go down the street to somebody's not doing that. So there's a lot of awareness that can come out of this. And this booklet, I think, is another step for us to bring that awareness out to everybody. And I have to tell you, I don't exclude our own members. They got to be aware, too.
Jerry, Patrick mentions Honda, but that in itself is a kind of confusion. Let's talk about car consumers. You might want to buy with pride an American-made car, only to learn that many of those parts were put together out of the country.
There's no doubt the global economy has very much confused things. So I think what we rely on is, again, our main message is jobs. So as long as the final product is assembled here and jobs are created, then it's enough to get in our directory. I think in a global economy, it's not realistic to truly expect all parts to be sourced here in America anymore. Although we would like it, it's just not realistic. So what we will settle for is, as long as good jobs are created here, then it's enough to make it into our directory.
Listeners of a certain age will recall Cesar Chavez and the California fields and trying to unionize those workers and then educate and inform consumers to consider purchasing union grapes, as I recall. Is what's old new again?
Absolutely. We're really trying to reinvent it. You know, the millennials are yearning for meaning and to find a path forward. With income inequality such a defining issue of their time, they're really trying to figure out where they want to put their money, where they want to put their resources. There's a lot of volunteering going on. And all study after study shows that these millennials care about where they spend their money. And they're spending it in sustainability. And we want them to have one more tool in their toolbox, which would be about good jobs, helping create good jobs.
Even, Patrick, if those millennials ultimately work in fields that are non-union, do they still have that mindset, do you believe?
I think they will. I think you referenced a great labor movement and a great accomplishment for folks who need it the most. And we have it right here on the East Coast and across the whole country with the fast food workers. I mean, those folks that are working for McDonald's and Burger King, they're getting fired because they're standing up for their rights. And, you know, what's interesting about it, their influence came from the community more than labor at first, although we're all partners with it now. And their slogan is $15 and a union now. So, you know, they did that themselves. We weren't smart enough to coin that, but there, you know, that if Chavez was here right now, he would say, let me put my arms around them and help them. And that's what we think we are. I mean, on any given day, you'll find that this group is doing some work. And what we do to help them is we make sure we go there the next day so they don't get fired because they demonstrated. So that's the kind of stuff I think is coming out. And I think the millennials that we're talking about, that they can relate to that. And they'll come together for those kinds of things. And I think that's what they did in California. And I think they'll do that across this country. It takes some time. We got to put it back together again. We left an awful lot slip away. You know, you can see with this, with what's going on in this country for politics. I mean, some far right people out there. You know, we have folks in Pennsylvania that hate unions. Their state legislators come out publicly and say, I want to do away with unions. So, and if the reason to do that, there's always an ulterior motive.
You have to appreciate the candor.
Well, but if they get away with doing away with the unions, then we just drive that separation from the 1% and the 99% even further apart.
Sherry Sanders, Patrick Eiding, thanks so much for joining us on
NewsWorks
tonight.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
Sherry Sanders is publisher of Labor 411, establishing first online in Philadelphia and then a print version just in time for the Democratic National Convention in late July. Patrick Eiding is president of the Philadelphia Council of the AFL-CIO.